Look, if you would, in Paul's letter to Philemon. It's just one page long in your Bible. One chapter and just 25 verses. Book of Philemon. Let me begin reading with verse 10. We're glad you're here, and we thank you for coming to spend this Mother's Day with us here in the Dayton Church. And Paul says to Philemon, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. And you know the story of Onesimus and Philemon, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Oh, he was a slave to Philemon, but he'd run away. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But then he says, without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. And all we're reading this passage for is one word. And that's the word in verse 15. It's the word perhaps. Paul, who knew the mind of God as well as anybody has ever known the mind of God here in this world, I assume, other than the Lord Jesus, wasn't for sure exactly how God was working all of this in the life of Onesimus, who had run away from his slave master, who had run into Paul at Rome, and whom Paul had evidently converted, and now Paul is sending him back to his master. And Paul sees God's hand in this. He's not sure exactly how God is working, but he's sure that God is working in this. So he said, perhaps all of this has come together as God has intended it to come because of the circumstance that was created. I believe in the providence of God, and it is divine providence. I believe it is a reality as much as any other physical force in this world. As there is wind and sunshine and temperature, I believe there is divine providence. And as God works through all of his physical creation, he works through our physical lives, through the circumstances and events of our lives, and coupling those circumstances and events together in such a way as to bring us to where it is that he wants us to be. We don't always see that, and we sometimes kick against it real hard. But nonetheless, he's working behind those scenes to try and bring those events out in our lives. You remember how Joseph expressed it when he'd been sold into bondage by his brothers into Egypt. And he was in the pit for a while, and they sold him to some Midianite merchantmen who took him down to Egypt, and Potiphar bought him. And he became a slave in Potiphar's house, and because of his moral uprightness, he became a slave in a dungeon. So for 2 years he spent his time in a dungeon, Egyptian dungeon. He was delivered from that because of the work of God in his life, the interpretation of dreams. And he was ultimately exalted to second place in all of Egypt. During all of these years of difficulty and turmoil, Joseph was a good guy. He wasn't sure what God was up to or if God was up to any of this. But it finally came home to Joseph in Genesis chapter 45 when he said, meets with his brothers again back down in Egypt. And he's revealing who he is to them, that he's their brother Joseph. So he says to them, verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For then he says positively, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He says in verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth. He says in verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and so all the blessings that God brought. But at this point in time in his life, looking back on all those situations and circumstances that had been so dire, he could see the hand of God working through that to bring him to that one position wherein he found himself at that particular point in time. A chain of events. All of our lives are simply a chain of events. That as you look back from where you are now, back to when you were much, much younger, and things started happening, you took jobs and you left some jobs and took other jobs, and you moved from this place to that place, and as all of these things occurred in your life, some of which were good things, but certainly not all of them. Are you able from your vantage point now to look back and identify those places where God touched the links in those chains and established other links to lead you in a given direction to the place where you are now in your relationship with Him and accomplishing with you, with Him in your family what you're accomplishing at this point. Can you see that? Well, I hope that you can. And we're not really talking about these guys this morning. We're talking about someone else. We're talking about a lady. This is Mother's Day. And, mothers are lovely creatures most of the time. There are times when mothers are motherly, and that can sometimes be smothering. But nonetheless, it is generally done because they love us and because they fear for us and all the hurts that they know are out there in the world that they're trying to protect us from. And so we kind of understand that. But you've been getting cards from your kids for a long time. You moms have been. I mean, the first cards you got were on construction paper or something from elementary school, and they drew on them with a crayon and put hearts all over them, and scribbled on there something that looks like Happy Mother's Day. You may still have some of those around your house. Those have long since given way to, if your kids have gotten older, to Hallmark cards with the finest messages within those that I guess a man's mind can think up. If your kids are grown, then they're bringing you presents on Mother's Day. Dads on Father's Day want a toy of some kind. We want something we can work with. We want something that we can do that's outside of our work job that we find fulfilling. And so get us a fishing lure, get us some tool for the workshop, get us something like that. Moms want something altogether different. The number one thing that moms want in America today, according to the latest poll that I saw, was a spa treatment. A spa treatment. So if we have a bunch of mothers here who haven't received any spa treatment gift certificates, I'm sorry. You fell somewhere down on the list from what's the most popular thing. Bath oils is in there somewhere. That's a good thing. And the perfumes and the things like that add a little special spice to their lives. But I know what they want more than anything else, because good mothers want what good fathers want. And moms would trade all the Mother's Day gifts in the world, all the Christmas gifts, all the birthday presents, roll them all up, put them in one big package. She'd trade all of those for this one thing. And that's just to know that her children are going to be okay. At whatever stage of life your children might be, to just be resting comfortably in the assurance that your children are going to be okay. Some mothers struggle. They just can't get it together. Maybe because of their own mothers being such failures. We dealt with that at school quite frequently, where some child would come and would be sick, and so we'd have the nurse call the mother and try to call, seldom get through. One little old kid coming is about 12 years old and just had blood oozing out of his ear constantly. We'd call the mother, we'd call social services, we'd call doctors. Nurse had visited home, we'd taken medications for which we gave them no charge. The medications were never administered. She didn't care. Just didn't care. And there are some mothers that are like that, but those are few and far between. Most mothers love their children and love them desperately. And there's nothing that can bring greater joy to a mother than the successes of their child. And there's nothing that can break a mother's heart any quicker than the failures that her child may experience as he or she goes through life. I hope the memories that you have of your mother are good ones. My mama was a good mother. Anna's mama, good mother. She had some McCartney and Morgan blood in her, and she stood her ground for most times against whatever she needed to stand her ground against. And sometimes that was against foolish children, things foolish children sometimes did. But she had a good heart, and she was there to recommend things to me as I grew up and to the other kids. She recommended a school to go to. She recommended a career to pursue. She recommended in the summertime when I was whining around because there wasn't anything to do. Daddy had no trouble with that. He'd just give us an axe and said, go cut the brush up on the hill. Plenty of brush up there to cut. Mama would, she was a little more caring about that kind of stuff. And she would say, well, have you read John Steinbeck's works? And no, I didn't know who he was. And so she brought me some books. The Grapes of Wrath, Of Mice and Men. And so I read those books, Pearl Buck's The Good Earth. And I read that book and several others that she recommended. And those books helped me to see life from a different perspective than what I had known in my few years of living, and to see how other people in other circumstances and cultures lived and faced their problems. She was a person of faith. So it is Mother's Day. And we try as best we can to honor our mothers, the memory of them, if our mothers are no longer with us, and trying to help us with other things. But Norman Rockwell families exist primarily on the covers of Old Life and Look magazines that you'll find in an antique shop. Those are good pictures, you know. But you raise your children in a real world, facing real problems and dealing with real circumstances, and there are real hurts out there in this world that you would keep from them. If a mother's love could protect a child from all of those hurts that are out there in the world that are experienced in growing up and leaving home, then that child would be protected. But even a mother's love can't prevent all the hardships that will come. So what to say to you on Mother's Day that I haven't said, because you heard 50 Mother's Day sermons from me already. If you remember one or two, it's fortunate. But just to say this, and whatever your circumstance is and whatever your family is, just understand this. God is at work in your family. He is at work in your circumstance, and He is creating things. He's doing this, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are committed to Him. And so He's trying in those circumstances to show the strength that He has to get you through the difficult times. And so let me remind you what time is left, because those of you that have been here for a while know that on Mother's Day I cut my sermons in half. And on Father's Day I cut those in half as well. So I don't have much time to share with you the story of Hadassah. But if you'll turn to her book in the Old Testament, I'll share a thought or two. The book of Hadassah. Get your Bible index out and look it up. And as you're scurrying through the index, you will not find the book of Hadassah. But it's in there. It's just in there by a different name, because Hadassah was her Jewish name. Her Persian name was Esther. So if you find that little old bitty book of Esther, then you found the book really of Hadassah, who was born a Jew and was raised by her cousin Mordecai. She was an extremely good-looking young woman. And she was thrust into a situation when the king of Persia, Ahasuerus, he had a wife named Vashti, and he wanted his wife to appear before a party that he was throwing, because she was good-looking, and he wanted to show her off, and she wouldn't come. He sent for her in the maiden's quarters, and she wouldn't come. And he sent for her again, and she wouldn't come. And she was running up with him to tell him, I will never come when you call me for that kind of circumstance or situation. She had some moral ethics, at least, if he did not. And so he banished her. Not going to have a wife like that. All of his wise men in the kingdom said, you can't have a wife like that. I mean, she's going to, and that's in chapter 2, she's going to embolden all the husbands in Persia. Now, all the wives in Persia, they're all going to think that they can disobey their husbands and get away with it. If you don't deal with this circumstance, it's going to get way out of hand. And so he dealt with the circumstance and cut her off. So he was looking for a new queen. And that queen was going to be Hadassah, her Jewish name. Esther, her Persian name. And she was selected after a contest. She was selected to be the next queen of. His Greek name was Xerxes. And so Mordecai was her cousin who raised her since she was a little kid. And Mordecai was a stubborn Jew. And Mordecai would not bow or reverence before Haman, who was the chief prime minister of all of the Persian Empire, second only to the king. And when he came around, Haman was interested in people bowing to him. It doesn't matter who it was. The king didn't have to bow, but everybody else, when he was around, they had to bow when he came by. Mordecai wouldn't bow. And when they accosted him about it, he said, "You got to bow. I mean, that's what the law says. The king has passed a law. You got to bow to Haman." And he's getting all offended. Huffy and Mordecai still didn't bow. And this persisted for a while, and they kept on saying, "It's going to be rough for you if you don't bow." He would not bow. And anyway, Haman went and complained to the king because his feelings were hurt by this old Jew. And he said, "We need to kill that Jew." And the king said, "Okay, I mean, do whatever you want to with that old Jew." And he said, not only kill that old Jew, we need to kill every Jew like that old Jew. So we need to send out a proclamation throughout the kingdom that on the 13th day of the 12th month of this coming year, every Jew is to be put to the sword. Men, women, and children, kill them all. And the king said, "Fine with me. Give the order." And so he signed the decree, and it went out through all the land, and assassins were hired, and so that they were prepared at the proper time to execute all the Jews in the land. And the problem situation was, of course, Esther was a Jew, and she was now the queen of all Persia, and Xerxes didn't know that she was a Jew. But she came to see him, risked her life to come in to see him. He wasn't calling for her, and if any of his queens did not, none of them could come or leave their chambers unless she called for them. If you sent for them, they could come in. If they didn't send for them, they couldn't come in. And she hadn't seen him in 30 days because he hadn't called for them. And they all, Mordecai and Esther, all knew that the family was about to perish and all the Jews were about to perish and didn't know exactly what they should do. Here's the verse that we're heading for. Esther chapter 4 and verse 13. And this is a conversation that Mordecai had with Hadassah. Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not within thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." You don't go and escape because you're in the king's house. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." Mordecai said, "God will take care of this one way or the other. He wants to take care of it through you. But if you're too bashful to speak up, then he'll find somebody else." But he said this to her, "If you withhold your peace, then God will provide deliverance somewhere else. But thou and thy father's house," verse 14, "shall be destroyed." And who knoweth, is the question that Mordecai asked her. And she thought about this question a lot. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? She thought about it a lot, and all of her assistant princesses thought about it a lot, and they fasted for 3 days before they would decide what to say to the king about this situation. She went in without being called for, which meant a death penalty for her by doing that. But according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, if the guy that kept the sword that would kill anybody that came in uninvited, his hand was stayed when the king saw Esther come in. She touched the tip of his scepter, and the king said, "What can I do for you? Anything up to half my kingdom, all you have to do is just tell me." And so ultimately she got to share with him exactly what Haman had plotted and how he would have determined to kill not just Mordecai. He built a special gallows to hang Mordecai from. But not just him, but all the Jews in Israel. And so she said, shared with Xerxes, "That'll be me, O king. It'll be all my family." And of course, Xerxes didn't know anything about this stuff. He just signed decrees and documents and he just did what he wanted to do. So when this came to his attention, he was extremely upset and mad and all those kinds of things like kings can get. And so he gave the commandment at the request of Esther that they take Haman and hang him on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai. And the king said, "Sounds like an excellent idea to me." But the question that he raised for Hadassah, that Mordecai raised, and the question that God has us all to ponder, and every mother in the assembly this morning to ponder, is, you know, what do we know? As we look at the circumstances in our family and the difficulties sometimes that our children go through, we don't know how God is using this and exactly where this is going to lead to, the successes and the failures. So we're just encouraged by the reality that God is always at work and He's working things according to the purpose of His will. And however things work out, they will work out for the glory of God. So just some thoughts, moms, to hang in there when the situations are challenging, and you know that they are. Just know that God is still with you. He's never leaving you. He will not forsake you. Well, the message is yours this morning, and we're going to sing an invitation song. If you're here and not a Christian, we'd love for this to be a day that you make that decision. Sons and daughters couldn't make their mother any happier than if they were to make that decision today. Or if moms are here and need to make that decision, that opportunity is yours. Or if you need our prayers, we stand ready to assist. First and last stanza, you come while we stand and sing.